Welcome back to IndieCan Radio. Later, we're going to be talking about labels in the new indie. We'll be hearing from Hayden Neal, a.k.a. Jack Soul. Jen Martin is on location at Canada Pride in Canada Day. But first, live at IndieCan, it's Vancouver's The Painted Birds.
This is Josh from The Painted Birds. You're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard here is we've got a Shane, a Sean, a Dom, and a Josh, otherwise known as the Painted Birds. Glad to have you guys in.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. This has been a little while in the making. Of course, Josh, you and I got to chat a little bit about the Vancouver music scene way back in episode 21. And who knows what this will be. It'll be 90-something or other. How's the road treating you?
That's good. We're about halfway done our 38-day Canadian tour.
How many dates in 38 days?
25, including a wedding. 24 plus a wedding.
Wow.
24 dates and a wedding.
24 plus one. And about 10,000 kilometers, I guess?
Yeah, at least eight or nine, yeah.
Here, just to set the scene for listeners, we are at North by Northeast. And so this is the Vancouver indie scene in XM Satellite Studios in Toronto. And So Toronto, Vancouver, what's the difference really?
In terms better of sushi in Vancouver.
Better sushi in Vancouver?
Yeah. In terms of the music scene, you mean?
Yeah.
Toronto's got a little bit more going on, I'd have to say.
A lot more venues.
So
way
many
more venues, yeah.
Is that good or bad?
That's very good. And Vancouver's in a venue crisis right now, so it's difficult,
are.
Yeah.
More condos.
We don't really, it's not like we really know, though. We haven't been here out here that much, so more venues could just be more bands and more competition.
Isn't that a good thing?
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess you might be a bigger fish in a smaller pond if you're in Vancouver and the opposite in Toronto. Could happen.
Song two is going to be...
single music video?
Yeah, that's right. Something Beautiful.
So beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks for the help. You know, it's already been along North by Northeast for host. Tell me about making a video. How many days does it take? How many friends' favors does it take? How much money does it take? What's involved?
I think you nailed it with the friends' favors. That was pretty much the whole process for us.
Yeah, they basically came to us with a series of treatments, which we kept on, you know, downsizing. And by the end of it, it was like, luckily, it was one day of filming. We just did it all in one very hot office space in about 10 hours, I'd say. And it was just a lot of these kids in the indie movie scene working for free.
Yeah.
And we just paid for their food and, you know, paid for all the costs of like renting a camera, renting a fog machine, all that stuff. So, I mean, it wasn't cheap for us, but I mean, it was a lot cheaper than it should have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got your bang for your buck.
Definitely.
Yeah. And are you happy with the product?
We haven't seen it.
You haven't seen
we
it
We haven't. Now we get we just got it emailed to us today, so the second we get out of this studio, we're going to run and find a computer and watch the final cut, I guess. Almost final cut.
Almost final cut.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. People can listen to the song and imagine what the video will look like.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They can imagine us wearing 50s blue tuxedos and looking damn sexy.
Yeah, and they can create their own storyline, you know, wherever their mind takes them.
That's so West Coast.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Don from the Painted Birds, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
What do you hope to get out of North by Northeast while you're here?
Exposure.
Yeah, it's a good forum to meet a lot of other bands, see a lot of other bands that we don't get to see when we're in Vancouver, and also just make connections in the industry, because let's face it, most of the industry is in Toronto, so we don't come out here very much, and when we do, we try to make it worthwhile and just see as many people and pass our music around and get people out to the show.
And how far east has your band traveled?
This is it. This is as far east as we've been, and we're going to go to Montreal in a couple days, and that'll be the farthest east we're going.
So you still need to get past that Quebec City barrier and then out to eastern Canada. When do you want to do that?
We'll probably do that in the fall, hopefully.
So are you in the back of your mind looking for some East Coast bands to hook up with?
Absolutely.
I think we found an amazing band the other night, Hey Rosetta.
Oh,
huge show
wow,
for them.
Yeah.
Those guys are unreal.
But yeah.
We played two shows with them on this tour. And, well, it was humbling. Anyway, they blew me away.
Yeah, there's something else. Eh? Yeah, Tim Baker's great, and the whole band he's got going is great. I mean, they were in the studio a few days ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They're great. And everyone's great out there. The other bands you'll meet, you know, I mean, they'll just help out just because it's the right thing to do.
Are you from the East Coast?
No.
Oh.
I'm a Montreal boy.
That's east enough.
Maybe for you guys. Okay, well, keep it going. I really love the sound. It's tight. It's uplifting. It's pretty good. So nice work.
Thanks.
Thank you very much
for having us.
Yeah. See you again soon. See you on the West Coast.
Yes.
This is Sean from the Painted Birds. You're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Stone. I wish I could.
Indie Can Radio.
You guys are rocking. That was a fantastic set.
Thank you.
Where do you guys pull your influences from?
Oh my God.
Love so much music.
Yeah. I basically started as a folk guitarist, and I love Ani DiFranco. She's a big influence, right? Like her style of writing and stuff, I love it. But we listen to everything from Dave Matthews Band to like bands like Block Party, Metric.
We love Canadian bands.
Yeah, we definitely have a strong lenience towards Canadian bands. We want to support.
Yeah, I was in Montreal last week. I saw Leonard Cohen at Place des Arts. It was amazing. That was the last big show I saw.
Other than that, we basically go see a whole bunch of local bands, and we're trying to really meet. We really want to have a sort of community with other bands to be able to get together and help each other out and play shows, and we'll bring people, you bring people, and I think that's the way to go with indie music right now, is to just help each other out and do what you can, and that's the way you can get a following.
Yeah, definitely cross-promotion, helping each other out is a definitely good support system to have. So I would like you guys to pick a song. Give us the story behind it, and we'll play it for our listeners.
Okay. Well, if I had to pick a song, I guess I'd pick Speechless. Speechless is basically a song about it says make your own rules, which is sort of, if we had a saying to the band, it would be that. And it's sort of just not to follow what you hear from the media, from politicians, from anybody. Just dig and find your own reality, your own truth, your own morals, and try to be as close to your own morals as possible. And that's what, and it's not righteous in any way, the song. It's just basically like encouraging people to make their own choices, you know? So.
Definitely a good positive influence, role model type thing then.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't know
we're
if we're
not
role model
anymore.
We're not ready for that kind of pressure yet.
I'm Jen Martin from IndieCan, and I'm here with the Toronto-based group Shit Hot. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
So, how did you guys all meet and get together?
Well, originally, Andrea and I, the first night we met, we were out drunk dancing, and she told me she played drums, and I said, let's start a band.
But I didn't actually know how to play the drums, I just said I could.
None of us actually knew how to play at all. 2 years ago?
Yeah. About two and a half years ago now. And we were just going to play a fundraiser and play some covers. And originally Sarah was just going to be our tambourine player. And slowly as we got to know her, she was like, well, I can kind of play keyboards and I can kind of sing, so.
She's still our tambourine player.
For your listeners, where can they find you online?
Shithot.com, shithott.com.
And you guys have a MySpace as well?
We do. It's MySpace/girlfriendmaterial, which was our first name, and we never got a chance to change our MySpace address.
And we have an album on iTunes Canada, iTunes US, and iTunes Europe or something.
Fantastic.
It's Are You There, God? It's me, Shit Hot.
Great. Well, thank you guys for taking the time to speak with us today. And good luck with all your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Hey, Hunter Valentine here. And this song that we're going to play is called A Youthful Existence. Here we go.
One, two, three, four.
I stay out late because I don't want to feel lonely. This emptiness is starting to hold me in. I can't get out, I can't get out. I'll meet you later, that I'm not done. She's trying hard, I'm trying not to fight her ends. I can't get out, I can't get out. Cause I'm my friends got girlfriends, but still need a book that sang to me.
We just got started on our Pride coverage. There were some great Canadian bands that were here in Toronto. Canada Day was something I recently took in, and there were all kinds of great things going on, at least in the greater Toronto area. There's plenty of that coverage on our website, www.indycan.com. There's photo galleries there. There's all kinds of commentary and, of course, a list of all the bands we've covered and an archive of all our shows. So if you're new to us, hope you like us. And there's plenty more for your Canadian indie appetite there. Later in the show, we're going to be listening to an excerpt again from the Canadian Recording Artists Association's project, which is called the New Indie. And it's just a collective think tank of people who are actually in the music business doing the new indie. And in that regard, I think it's fabulous. It's not pie in the sky. It's there's lots of meat, not so much sizzle. One of the focuses is labels. They've got something else on management. They've got something else on publishing, and then a general overview. It's a 4-CD set. It's available as a podcast for free. So it's there to help anybody who's either in music or just loves music so much that they want the behind the scenes. We'll be hearing from Hayden Neal of Jack Soul about his take on the evolution of the label in music. And you only need a passing interest in music to find that fascinating. I'll look forward to that. But anyway, let's get back to some of our coverage at Toronto Pride. Here we go.
This is Jeffrey Straker backstage at Toronto Pride. My new album is called Step Right Up, and we're going to listen to a tune here called Hypnotized.
Yeah, great set.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You enjoying Toronto?
Yes. Yeah.
From Saskatchewan?
From Saskatchewan. I've spent a lot of time here, but I go back and forth a lot, so I spend more time in Saskatchewan now because I base myself there and I tour around the West. I have a lot of stuff going on up there.
Well, your MySpace is Toronto, Saskatchewan.
I know. It's because I'm bi-coastal. Something like that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, some bi-coastal music.
Silver. They pull me out on this roller coaster, and man, it feels so good. I'm sailing, climbing up higher and higher. You lead me up, I'm an open fire. You're dragging me round by strings I desire, and I can't go back, I can't. I'm hypnotized, you're falling through. Cold. I came inside with you, baby, oh, oh. And this ain't no tale that I've ever told, but it's good, it's good, it's good. I got sun dripping from this soul of mine. Struck gold, it's looking just like your eyes. I open the bottle and taste the wine, and I can't go back again. I'm hypnotized, you're falling through.
Lived the life of a hard-working independent artist and also has worked with a major label for a large part of his career. Hayden and I chatted about life on both sides. Hi, Hayden.
Hello.
So this show's called The New Indie. What do you think of...
Fabulous.
Isn't it a fabulous name?
It's incredible.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue.
Paradigm shifting.
So is that what you think of when you think of The New Indie? A paradigm shift?
I think that we've definitely crossed that threshold, that critical mass where the majors, if you will, just sort of became a little too big. Mm-hmm. I guess corporate is a word you can't really avoid. I mean, it's come a long way since, say, the days of Motown, where everything was kind of internal and everybody kind of knew what everybody was doing. And, you know, even the accountant kind of knew what was coming around the corner.
Right.
And now it's sort of become about profits quarterly and things like that. So I think it's been harder for larger labels to keep their ear to the ground, you know, find new great music and really be invested artist by artist. It's a challenge, I think.
Okay, so for you, it's kind of like a do-it-yourself model.
Definitely.
And you can pursue that without the funding of a major label?
I think you almost had to even, like when I started a dozen years ago, that's what we did. I guess we better put out our own record and get across the country a couple times and convince people that we're for real. And now you'd be foolish to do it any other way, you know, regardless of what genre you're in. For us, it was sort of like, you know, with Jack Soul, it's like, okay, you're a soul band in a country full of rock and rollers. What are you going to do? You better get your ass across the country.
Right.
So that people realize you're not just, you know, waiting for your...
So it's like it's developing a connection with your audience, right?
Partly developing a connection with your audience, but also just developing yourself as an artist. Now that I've sort of seen things from the major label perspective over a few years, it's like, okay, every question that you can't answer for yourself costs them money. That's how they look at it. You know, where are the other four songs for your record? That's going to cost some money. Who's going to produce it? Just answering that question is going to cost some money and a few trips to the studio just to, you know, try some things out. What do you want to wear on your album cover? Don't know the answer? That's going to cost money. Now we got to go find ourselves a stylist and blah, blah, blah. So the more you can kind of road test this stuff by putting out your own material, is the more that you can actually answer those simple questions.
Right. Well, I mean, the great thing about being associated with a major label is they give you access to all those services, right? And they're all different, whether it's a stylist or a lawyer or whatever, you have all that access. So what, I mean, if you're a developing artist, you may not necessarily have a lot of business skill. Where do you start and how do you go about it? What's your approach?
Actually, there is no approach. I think you really do have to have a bit of a team around you. You got to put that together for yourself between you and your buddy from school that knows a little bit about marketing. Dude on the, you know, AV crew from high school. Hey, you're still doing stuff? Like you got to put it together.
Get your girlfriend to pick your socks, that kind of thing.
You know, you sort of start out kind of ghetto like that, and then you sort of evolve and replace the players as you need to make things more and more professional. And because, to be honest, having seen it from the major label side, sometimes it's worth their while to get their hands dirty, but most often it's not.
Right.
And they're waiting around for you to do it. And your album could just sit there half finished for a year and a half until you get the manager, find your producer, figure out where you're going to get the rest of these songs from or co-writes or things like that. So I think it's always in your best interest to do as much work for yourself as you can.
Right.
And because at least that means that you're holding the cards at the negotiating table when you're talking to another label or trying to get your distribution, as opposed to sitting with your thumb in your mouth waiting for people to do it for you. Past that, when you want to get a little entrepreneurial, when you want to put out your first record, you know, a little bit of that ghetto mentality still helps. Like, wrong and strong is the way I always did things. Yeah. You know, if I get to a city and there's only a punk room, well, then I guess my R&B playing ass is playing the punk room. And that's how it goes. You do have the opportunity to do as much on your own as you can. And it's so much easier to get a distribution deal if you have a little bit happening. When we started, I'd be driving around with my buddies from here to Ottawa, dropping stuff off at HMV locations, because that's just what we had to do. And you don't want to be doing that.
No.
That's a drag.
Right.
So if you can try to get some help with the distribution, that's kind of cool.
You know, so is it better to have a distributor do your marketing or to do it on your own?
I think in the end, you got to know all the answers to the marketing questions.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, it's really hard for somebody else to come up with it. It's almost like this. You know when everybody used to bitch and complain that major labels always screwed you up and sold you this way and told you to put on that black hat and now wear these sandals or whatever the hell? A lot of the problem was that they would ask you the question first, and if you didn't know the answer, then some guy behind a desk would be happy to tell you based on his 15 years, 20 years in the business. And he'd get it wrong. So I always tell people, if you can sort out a lot of these simple things yourself, what kind of band are you? How do you describe yourself? If you were on the shelf at HMV, where would you be?
Right.
Like, I had somebody on my website say, hey, I want to give you $20. I was like, well, what for? Well, I just don't want to go to the evil label. And it's like, ah. Oh. And I had to explain to them that the labels, you know, yes, it's my job to bitch and complain about them all the time and always try to get more money out of them. But the point is, they're the only bank that exists to fund what I do.
Right.
Pull a bunch of stuff out of the ether and turn it into music.
So what did it mean to you to sign with a major?
It meant that now you actually had a chance to kick a hole in the scene. You could actually make an impact,
right,
because they would sort of aggregate all your efforts, all your marketing efforts, and then hit everybody at once. Okay, so we'll do a video and we'll do this record. We'll do a big launch. We'll make sure that now, instead of you waiting to actually get enough gas money to get across the country, we'll just do it, give you some money to get across the week of your release. Instead of before, you put out a record and, you know, you scrape together some stuff and you wait on some tables, and then 6 months later you do your big record release. They were actually able to get it all together. And I knew I'd need to do that because I was trying to get play with a certain type of music that we didn't have a station for.
Right.
So this was the way to do it. You know, but I, as a producer, I'm looking at younger bands, and the whole time I'm working on tunes and trying to drag in the right amp, I'm thinking, okay, now what are these guys going to do when we're done?
Right.
If you're not willing to be an independent artist that puts out at least their own EP and wants to sell at least 1,500 records, if you can't figure your way out of that little problem-solving situation, you're probably not going to get enough attention from a manager, from an agency, from a label.
Right.
And that's how you have to kind of think, because now, even if you don't know how marketing works, you must have done some of it because you sold 1,500 records.
Or you're a really good musician and people love what you're doing.
Yeah, or you are just that incredible and this stuff just flew like hotcakes out of the back of your car. If you're willing to sell that many CDs, I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because that's probably going to be...
And if you don't?
A bunch of gigs.
Should you
I think
for
if you're not
job?
Willing to do that much, then what you really want is that Canadian Idol experience, and you already know how that works, so you can go stand in line now and
right. Wait
for your 5 minutes of fame.
You're such a pleasure to interview.
It's been wonderful being with you.
It's been so perfect.
Slightly, my eyes are inviting you into the scene. Wait for the moment when judgment is faulted, your mindset insulted each time that you breathe. I can lie to myself, I can lie to myself. I can make myself feel what I want to believe. love has uncovered the dark side of me. Me, oh, make me feel lonely. It's here I find comfort, a place I can sleep. I can lie to myself, I can lie to myself. I can be what you want me to be. I can make myself feel what I want to believe. I am free.
The song is Meaningless Meetings. The artist is Adeline. Adeline was part of the great West Coast North by Northeast contingent this year, which the Painted Birds were part of. We heard from Dan Mangan a couple of weeks ago, said the Whale was here, the Pack AD. Next week we'll have Hey Ocean, and I'm really looking forward to bringing that to you. Anyway, kudos to Van. You really did yourself proud on this trip here. Before that, we heard Varied Koren as part of the Canadian Recording Artists Association interviewing Hayden Neal. And that was a 7-minute interview on about 50 minutes that they devote to labels today. Also, they made a point of sending a shout out to Hayden right after that interview, or shortly after that interview. He was involved in a scooter accident, and there were some nervous times for the music community, that's for sure. He's recovering well, and certainly I know him from Songwriters Association of Canada. He's done a lot of great work there. He's done a lot of production work, and a lot of people certainly want to see him in front of a microphone again singing. So, Hayden, we're thinking of you. And it's that time again. We're winding down. We got a little more Painted Birds for you just on deck. But first, brand new CD from a band from Montreal that I first saw on maybe their last trip to Toronto. They're called October Sky. We're going to hear the title track. It's called Hell Is Not My Home. And if you like it, guess what? They're going to be touring to support this new CD, so check them out online. See you next week, everyone. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll be right back.
is Shane from Painted Birds. You're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.